For the next several weeks, we are going to talk about life. When Jesus came among us, he said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." But if we're honest, for many of us, life can feel more like striving and struggling. According to Jesus, there are only two paths in life: the way of the flesh or the way of the spirit. And in our world, these two ways of life always overlap. Our world is an ever-changing mixture of life and death, of good and evil. There is no neutral space. The structures, norms, and narratives of our culture shape us, whether we actively recognize it or not. Some shape us in positive ways, but many distract us, numb us out, and perpetuate ways of being in our lives that lead to our destruction, not to new life in Jesus. Spiritual practices are ways for us to keep in step with the Spirit, giving Him daily consent to change us and empower us to go a new direction in our lives, to make us new.
This is our fifth and final week in the series, Life by the Spirit. And we opened this series in a passage from the book of Galatians, a letter that describes this constant battle that is happening within followers of Jesus. We will either live out of that worst side of ourselves, or we will walk by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the person of God who lives within all God's people. And in Galatians, there's no neutral space. There's no neutral ground between these two options. We must actively resist the strong pulls that we feel in this world, or else we will be dragged into this life of living out of the worst side of ourselves. Let's dive together right back into the text. If you have a Bible, you can turn or scroll with me to Galatians chapter 5. If you don't have a Bible, the text will be on the screens for us here. And we're going to start in verse 16. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." That English word flesh translates a Greek word sarx, which is a technical term. It doesn't mean our physical bodies. In biblical thought, the physical body is a good thing. Sarx is talking about this worst side of ourselves. "Walk by the Spirit, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want." And as the passage continues, the next paragraph is a list of these acts of the flesh, and then it's followed by a paragraph all about the fruit of the Spirit. And there's no neutral option in these passages. We must actively resist, or we will be pulled into life like this worst side of ourselves. According to the Apostle Paul, just because we once learned something about Jesus, and perhaps even what it means to walk with him by the power of the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean that we're just good to go now without putting in some ongoing effort. And this is true in other areas of life as well. So we're going to demonstrate this together. All sites and venues, play along. Here we go. Raise your hand with me if you are 30 and up. Raise your hand, 30 and up. There you go. All right, that's a lot of us in the room. There you go. Keep your hands up. I'm 37. Now put your hands down if, no, keep your hands up. Sorry, let me finish the sentence. Put your hands down if, or keep your hands up if, I'm good at this. 30 and up, hands are up, great. Now, keep your hands up if you've ever pursued a course of study that you're not using anymore. Maybe your major in college or some kind of trade school or apprenticeship, something that you're not using anymore. Okay, just rough numbers, I'd say about 80% of the hands are still in the air. Okay, you can put your hands down now. If you are under 30, let this be a life lesson to you. You will end up studying something that you don't use. You don't have to have your life figured out right now, no matter what someone of us who are 30 and up might tell you. So, okay, there you go. Yeah, this is, that has nothing to do with the message. That's just a freebie because I love all you. So there you go. Okay, this is... this is true for me. I can think of three areas. One, I was a chemistry major in college, and now I do this. another one, I don't even know how many times, I think once, maybe twice, I've taken a CPR and first aid certification course. But now, if you and I are spending time together, you better hope that if you get hurt, there's someone else around, because I'm going to be useless in that situation. I better hope that too. Third, this is the one that actually like hurts personally. My wife and our firstborn and I, we lived in Spain for 2.5 years, and I know that my Spanish is fading. Like I can still carry on a conversation, but like my grammar and vocabulary are leaving me, because in all three of these areas, I'm not actively pursuing chemistry, CPR, my Spanish language skills. Like I'm not keeping up with those things. And so, as I neglect those practices, I drift. And Paul is making the same point about our spiritual lives. We need to be people who actively resist the pulls that we experience in our world and partner and keep in step with the Spirit on an ongoing basis. And so throughout this series, we've been talking about practices that can help us keep in step with the Spirit. Many of us have been following along with a reading plan on the Bible app with some pastoral reflections from Pastor Kayla as well to help us think deeply about practices of the Spirit. And then for 4 Sundays, we've talked about these 4 practices. Worship, fasting, Sabbath, the act of rest and remembrance, and today we're talking about community. Community. Awesome. That's baked into our mission statement as a church. If you've been around for a while, you might know our mission statement. Let's say it together if you know it on the count of three. 1, 2, 3. Building a community to reach a community. Let's say it again if you know it. Building a community to reach a community. Yeah. The longer version is, it goes a little bit like this. Building a loving community that follows Christ in order to reach a community that is lost or broken without him. And today's message is all about the first half of that mission statement. Building a loving community that follows Christ. Pretty simple message. Basically, in order to walk well with Jesus, we need each other. We need authentic, trusting, loving relationships in community with each other to walk by the Spirit. But why? Like, why is community a practice of the Spirit? Like I've got my Bible. I can read this or listen to it on my own. I certainly meditate on Scripture better when I'm by myself. I can connect with God while I'm on a walk, or, you know, like fasting, Sabbath, those feel like things I can do by myself. I can listen to good teaching from the comfort of my couch or while I'm going for a run. Do I really need community? Is this really a practice of God's Spirit to help me resist the pulls that we experience in the world? Is it necessary? Yup. There you go. Check. Yes, you're done. We can all go home. Yeah, we need it. Why? Because there's no neutral space. Because we will experience these pulls if we neglect the practice of holy spiritual community. We will be pulled by the world into these different areas that can be toxic for us. Let me talk about 3 pulls that we experience on a regular basis. And each of us might experience these pulls to different degrees at different times. Here's the first one. We hear the message that I'm my image, that how I am perceived by others is what matters most. Now, I put this on the screen in 2019, and immediately lots of our minds go to social media. And that's fair to an extent, but this is a problem that's just human. This has been around since long before social media was a thing. That's just, my phone is just something that can help make this worse for me sometimes. So, like, we are people who obsess over how others see us, and so we work to hide parts of ourselves and display a certain image. This is true on Instagram, but it's also true at the workplace, at school. It can happen in the grocery store, at the water park or the Mallards game or wherever you're going in the summers. It can happen in a room with a few hundred people, and when you're talking to a camera that's going to go to a bunch of other people. Or it can happen one-on-one, like in an interview or on a first date. Yeah. And if some of this pull is natural, right? There's a lot riding on others' perceptions of us. But if we lean too far in this direction, it could be toxic to become the kinds of people who are constantly managing our image and working to hide parts of ourselves. Second poll. We believe community isn't worth the hard work because other people are ill. Like, they're just, like, not worth the hard work, okay? There's two off-ramps to this poll that community isn't worth the hard work. One of them is isolation, and other people, they're messy, so I'm going to go be by myself. Maybe that's going for a long bike ride by myself, or maybe I'm sitting down on the couch with a good book or a good show to binge watch, and perhaps so that I can experience like a slice of companionship without the messiness of other people, I might be cuddling a pet who doesn't talk back to me. Like, that's one off-ramp to a community not worth the hard work. The other off-ramp is in our more extroverted moments, it's just, let's just go find new people, right? Like, I crave relationships with people, but like these old relationships, like, no thank you, because there's just this baggage that's built up. So it's so much easier to just go find new friends for some of us. And again, just like with that perception issue, some of this is natural. There's nothing wrong with having some alone time. There's nothing wrong with making new friends. But we can use both of those things as smoke screens to avoid the hard work that relationships take. We can use them to run away. And that is going to be something that pulls us further into the worst side of ourselves. Third poll, and this is the one that actually comes directly from the text of Scripture that we're in today. I'm encouraged that I should fight to win in my relationships. This is what Paul talks about in Galatians 5. I'm going to open the text again. We're going to jump in back a couple verses to verse 13. He says, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sarks, the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other." Strong words. This makes sense in the cultural context that Paul is writing to. To a certain extent, the other two poles were less significant in Paul's day. You couldn't really run away in a communal society and hide and not depend upon others. You also couldn't make new friends because there's no such thing as a large city. All the cities were basically what we would think of as towns. And so the off-ramp, if you're not walking by the Spirit, the route that's available to you is to stick in those relationships, but just tear each other apart. And so later on in the passage, as Paul is listing these acts of the flesh, this is what that looks like on the page for us. But if you pay attention here in our translation to the semicolons, anybody get really excited when I said pay attention to the semicolons? Anybody? Any grammar geeks in the room? Come on. All right. Well, there you go. My grandmother would be proud of me. She was an English teacher. All right. If you pay attention to the semicolons, there was no punctuation in the original Greek text, but the English language translators are using these semicolons to say something about how this list of the acts of the flesh breaks down. So you can, like, if you're a circler in your Bible, you can circle these semicolons. So it basically breaks down into four categories of acts of the flesh. And so if we let the semicolons shape it, it looks like this. The acts of the flesh are obvious, and it's the third of the four sections that's the big, long one, and it's all these acts of biting, devouring, destroying each other. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy. For Paul, the opposite of a loving community is a contentious community, relationships of tribalism, where we fight to win. So let me ask us a question. When's the last time you tried to win for your side in a political conversation? Yeah, how'd that go for you? Or maybe at work or at school. When's the last time you fought to win in a meeting or a conversation with colleagues or classmates? How did it leave you feeling afterwards? Where did it leave that relationship? I could tell my own stories of how this has played out for me at work, but I work here, so I'm just going to let the people in the different venues who know those stories silently judge me right now. So, what about at home? When's the last time you fought to win with your family or roommates or others? And you know, just like with those other poles, there's a piece of this that's natural. Like, there are things in the world worth fighting for, okay? But so often, instead of fighting for what's right, we fight to be right. And even when we do fight for a just cause, we don't fight cleanly, we fight dirty. These are the three toxic poles that we experience. I don't know which of these you identify with more. I'd say for me, when I'm neglecting the practice of holy spiritual community, my life kind of like circles back and forth between these three toxic pits. We need the practice of community in order to resist these pulls. So how does that work? What does that look like? Well, we've already seen one act of resistance. And the third pull, the pull that came from the scripture text, we saw what Paul put in opposition. The act of resistance is this. It's to serve one another humbly in love. That word serve translates a Greek word douleo, and serve is a euphemistic translation. More direct translation would be enslave yourselves to one another humbly in love. It's powerful idea. Chris talked about this in the first message in the series. Paul is saying, in Christ, you were called to be free, truly free. So how should you use your freedom? Freely give it up. Freely choose enslavement to one another, not a forced enslavement, but a chosen enslavement, modeled after the God we serve, the triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit, who exist in eternal, beautiful community of mutual service, each one serving the other and providing the example for us that we should be people who we have these two options. Either we'll be slaves to the worst side of ourselves, or we will freely choose mutual enslavement to one another with humility and love. And so this is the first act of resistance away from that third pull. By God's Spirit, we can serve one another humbly in love. And then once we enter into those relationships of mutual service, something happens that kills that first pull, the pull that I'm my image, because in these relationships, I know that I can no longer hold up the facade of being my image. I discover instead that I'm flawed and loved. Oh, it's such a powerful and freeing combination to know that I am both flawed and loved. I discover in these relationships that it's not just other people who are messy. I'm messy, and my messiness comes out. I can't hide it forever. And then I'm still loved in that community. Oh, that combo of flawed and loved kills our obsession with how others perceive us. And then we find ourselves resisting that third pull about hard work, because we feel like this thing we've got going, this is worth it. And so we learn that learning to love each other is worth the hard work, because we need these relationships with each other in order to grow. We need community in order to thrive and flourish together. We can be the kinds of people who take those risks by the power of the Spirit to do the hard work in relationship. Okay, so what does this look like? How do we do this practically? How does community happen? Where does community happen? Well, I'll tell you one place that it doesn't really happen. Rooms like this. And the reality that some of you are joining us online or at our other sites and venues, these rooms are just not built for deep interpersonal connections. Like, we can do a little meet and greet thing, but we can't go deep. These rooms are great for a teaching thing like this, for corporate musical worship, sharing in that time together, a shared experience, taking communion together. Those things provide a slice of community, but deep interpersonal connections just don't happen very well in these rooms. Those are things that happen better in circles than they do in rows. And so the first possibility for us is to become connected in smaller communities of people who are working to follow Jesus together. And at Blackhawk, we do everything we can to make that as practical as possible for us. And so the first suggestion, first real practical next step is to get in a group. If you're not already in a group, you can get in a group here at Blackhawk. If you're new around here and you don't really know, welcome to life in Wisconsin. Our summers are like all over the place. And then during the ministry year from September September through May is when our groups meet on a regular basis. And we have groups for all ages and stages of life, from middle school up through senior adults, men's and women's ministries, life groups, care groups, lots of ways to connect in circles rather than rows. Keep your eyes peeled in the month of August to find out more information about groups. And then in September, groups will kick off for the next ministry year. That's one practical possibility for pursuing community. Another one, serve. We can be people who lead lives of mutual service in our relationships together in Jesus. This one comes straight from the text. Enslave ourselves to one another humbly in love. And again, a real practical way that we help facilitate this here at Blackhawk is by providing volunteer opportunities. And this one kills like five birds with one stone. For starters, like all of our groups run on volunteers. Pretty much everything around here at Blackhawk runs on volunteers. Serving shoulder to shoulder with someone creates community as you do those things together. I don't actually have to go too deep in this point, because we're about to launch another two-week message series that we've called Love, Serve, Grow. The basic premise of this series is that loving God and loving others means leading lives of service. And as we serve, we will grow, we will love, and it's just this beautiful circle that mutually reinforces. And the practical way that we can build service into our calendar is through a volunteer role. One practical way to do that is through a volunteer role here at Blackhawk, both inside our community and working through the Blackhawk community through some of our impact partners. Now, if you text SERVE to that number, 608-618-4003, you're going to get a head start on us. Now, nobody's texting yet, but let me describe what's going to happen. If you text that number, you'll get a link in your text. Nothing more, just a link. You're not signing your life away. So here's my recommendation. Do this right now. It'll take you 10 seconds. And then leave it unread, right? So you got that little badge on your phone with the link. Then later today, when you've got more time, go read the link and you'll find out about different opportunities to serve around here. That'll help you engage well with the series that's coming in the next 2 weeks. I see a few of you going ahead and text. Really appreciate that. Thanks for doing that. Okay, those are the first two possibilities. Get in a group, serve. For those of us in all stages of life, maybe some of us are already serving, already in groups. What's a step that's for anyone here? We can be people who lean in. People who are willing to do the hard work in community. In those moments when things get rough, rather than running away to isolation or a new people, we can be the people who come to our brother or sister in Christ and say, "I'm hurt. Can we talk?" That is a risk inspired by the Spirit of God that will deepen our community relationships with each other. Lean in. Third possibility for us. Right, let me zoom out for a minute. I've got skeptics in the room, and you have a valid point here. So, guy on the platform, he works here. He gets paid to do this, so he makes these three suggestions. Oh, how convenient! Get in a group. That'll deepen our commitment to the organization. Serve. Yeah, I bet middle school ministries needs volunteers, right? Or lean in, like he's saying, when things get tough, don't go away, stay. Right? Yeah, that's the bias of the guy on the platform. Why should I? Okay. All of that happens to be true. Yeah. Well, you want me to say it's not? Yeah, it's all true. But like those of us who put this teaching series together, like our job titles, the word is pastor. And the word pastor doesn't mean organization builder. It means shepherd. Like, we're just men and women who love God's sheep. That's you. We love you and we want what's best for you. That's right. We're sheep too. That's right. You stole my joke. I was about to baa. All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, we're sheep too. We know what it's like. So what are we doing in this series together? We're talking about life by the Spirit. Life where we can flourish and thrive and grow, where we can be leading more fruitful, substantial lives. And what's the fruit of the Spirit, by the way? It's love. Is that something I can do when I'm by myself? Or kindness? Is kindness something that I can practice in isolation? Or faithfulness? Other people can count on me. Can they count on me if I'm running away? We need each other to develop the fruit of the Spirit. This is why we've intentionally landed this series about life by the Spirit with the practice of community. Because even if we can practice those other practices on our own, all of these practices were designed to be engaged together with one another. And so, yes, we invite you to get in a group, serve, and lean in because we want you to grow. We want us all to grow together and lead more fruitful lives. I was reminded of this a week ago at Madison Missions. Every morning at Madison Missions, an adult leader shares about their spiritual journey with our middle school students. And I wasn't there for all five of them this other week, but I was privileged to hear two of these stories. And one of the stories was about, there was a turning point for this man. And the turning point in his spiritual journey came when he was ready to give up on organized religion. But then he got connected with a small, loving community of people pursuing Jesus together, and it changed his life. Community was the game changer for him. The other story that I heard a woman shared, and the turning point that she talked about in her journey was when she first started to serve in her church. And in her case, it was not for particularly spiritual reasons that she started to serve. But once she did, as she was working shoulder to shoulder with these mature and loving followers of Jesus, she would say it truly changed the trajectory of her life. As I reflected on their two stories, it made me think about my own journey. When have been the times when I have experienced growth, when I have felt like I've been flourishing and seeing the fruit of the Spirit in my life? And most of the times that come to mind are times when I've been in small, holy, spiritual communities of people doing life, following Jesus together. Times when I've been on a ministry team, serving shoulder to shoulder with others, pulling hard in the same direction in Jesus' name. So, do we want you to get in a group, serve, lean in? Yeah. Why? Because we're trying to build an organization? No. Because we love you. And we want to flourish together and lead more fruitful lives as a community. We need each other in Jesus' name. Let me pray for us. Oh, Jesus, thank you that you came that we might have life and have it to the full. Thank you for sending your Spirit that we might experience this fullness of life together. Thank you for the conversations of the past 5 weeks. I pray that we would embrace these holy spiritual practices in relationship with you. Holy Spirit, we give you consent to use these practices to transform us to look more like Jesus. I pray specifically that we would lean into community and that we would embrace the hard work it takes to love one another well for the long haul. Jesus, show us how to love each other. We pray in your name. Amen.